Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Gazer Lives and Friends. This is Carrie, and you can find me on Twitter at Diva Dole. And you can follow our blog daily. It's all about Gazer Lives, past and present cast of the show. So we try to update people on what the former actors of the show are doing at DivaDole.com. We also have a Google Plus page you can find on our blog. You can find it right there on the left side. Always on Facebook, Diva Days is a friend page, and the fan page that you can like is Diva Days for Lives. And I don't think I'm missing anything. Oh, I'm still working on iTunes. Okay, that's the last piece of the puzzle, and it's been almost 3 weeks since I've been accepted, and I'm still not there yet. So I just have to wait on that. Yeah, we're getting there, you know. I was watching TV, and they were showing a commercial for the Smash CD, and one of the songs from Smash is They Keep Moving the Lines, and I feel that way all the time.
Isn't it
seems like when I first heard the song, they did it with the premiere a couple weeks ago. And they had Megan Hilty sing it, and she's like, they just keep moving the lines. And it's like, yeah, that's how I feel all the time. I keep, you know, coming up to the next line, and everybody's across the finish line, and they say, oh, no, wait. And they push it farther away from me. It's like, oh, my gosh. I think that's my new theme song, and my forever theme song is Just a Girl by No Doubt, because I feel that way all the time, too. I'm just a girl. That's all they'll let me be. I feel that way all the time. So hopefully next week we'll be on iTunes. But in the meantime, we have two awesome interviews coming up. I'll talk about the one, and I'll let Anna gush over the other one. Thursday we have Patrick Muldoon and Christy Clark, and we have a lot to talk about with them. It's the 20th anniversary of Austin and Carrie.
Aww.
And, I actually saw Patrick's first scene on YouTube, and he's actually with Tracy Middendorf, not Christy Clark.
Oh, okay.
But and Christy announced this week she's having a baby girl, and she's having a third daughter.
So,
yeah, and Pat's movie Spiders in 3D is still out, and it was in California. I think now it's expanded a little farther now, so you have to look to see if it's in your area. Yeah, so yeah. We got lots and lots and lots to talk about. And, Anna, why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're up to on Monday night?
All right. Well, we'll be talking with the lovely Lauren Coslow Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And we have lots to talk with her about, especially her new Kate's new romance on Dave. So that should be fun. I'll hopefully get some new insights on that. And we can just gush otherwise, but we're looking forward to talking with Lauren. Yeah, so excited. And she's always great to us, and always have a great time with her. So, yep, we'll be talking to her, and please be sure to call in and get a chance to talk to Lauren, ask her whatever you want. You know, you can break it down, ask her some specifics about the love scene or whatever.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions about that love scene.
Yeah, we really like to know, Lauren. We know they're all technical and everything, but, you know, break it down for us. And how did they get through the sensors? That's what I want to know. That's the question I want to ask.
I don't know how. That was the most shocking thing I've seen since Steve and Caleb, I think it was their honeymoon, when they were taking a bubble bath and Mary Beth Evans went under the bubbles. And then Stephen Nichols started smiling. And
you knew what she was. I forgot about that.
You knew what she was doing under the bubbles.
Oh.
So, It's up there
snorkeling?
With Patchy.
Was she snorkeling
Patchy
over there? I don't know.
I don't know. She might have been snorkeling. I don't know. So anyway, yeah, it was up there. Yeah, yeah. So if you guys want to call in 914-338-1239 tonight or for the interviews, they're both live call-in shows. We don't hoard the guests for ourselves. We actually share them after
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, we want you guys to get a chance to talk with Lauren and with Christy and Patrick later in the week. And, yeah, that's what we like to do. We enjoy that. It's fun. It's fun for us to get to hear all the fans call in and get a chance to talk with our guests. And, yeah, so it'll be fun. And, so, yeah, so do we want to start with the Kate week, Kate day, or what?
Oh. Before I forget, because I don't want Bob getting mad at me, I have to pimp at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka. All right.
Oh, yeah,
then,
even though
then,
they haven't called in months, I mean, months.
Yeah, it's been 6 months.
It's,
yeah,
it's really
ridiculous.
Getting to the point where, you know, we may have to reconsider the pimping if they don't call in again anytime soon. No, I'm just kidding.
Bob said he last week he might do it, so I don't know.
We welcome their call. They're lovely people. We love them to death and enjoy it when they join us. And Marianne will be joining us about a half an hour into the show tonight. She should be calling in. So she's running late from work, so she'll be calling in soon. And but yeah, so we got lots to talk about with Kate. Kate was a busy girl this week. She had a lot on her agenda this week. Namely, doing Rafe.
Yes.
And I know, the spoilers had come out ahead of time, and I mean, I have total faith in Lauren Coswell that she can rock whatever it is that she's presented with. But, I know a lot of people, it was that WTF effect, like, Rafe and Kate, really? But I think pretty much most people were convinced by the end of the first episode they aired.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tuesday's episode started with Kate talking to Stefano on the phone. It was very contrary. She basically was talking about taxes and how they were going to have to file a joint return and that, he needed to get his crap together and send it to her accountant or, she was going to stick the IRS on him. So that was a lovely conversation. And Stefano was very demeaning and nasty to her and basically called her, is it Strega, I think is the word? I don't know, but he basically called her an old bat, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And, basically was pretty mean to her. And so she's sitting there drinking her sorrows with her dirty, I don't know, can we call them Chiantinis now? I don't know. Dirty martinis and her olives. And getting pretty sloshed and, a little while later, she wanders into the town square, and who does she find but Rafe, who is sitting there looking kind of lonely, and he's also getting sloshed. And
mm-hmm.
she sort of confronts him, wants to have words with him, essentially about Will and the whole, the whole issue with the baby and, is Will going to be a parent to this child and how does Rafe feel about it? And as long as he's on board with Will being the father, because he is the father,
mm-hmm.
Rafe just said, well, he is the father. Kind of thing. He didn't say duh, that's me. But it's like, and so they had a very, it was a really funny conversation because they got drunker as it progressed, and it was really entertaining, I got to say. I love to see Lauren play Kate drunk. She was
mm-hmm.
very playful, and it was just adorable. It was just funny. And then Rafe's responses and everything, but I loved the fact that he right away validated her and expressed, that she was beautiful and that
mm-hmm.
She told him about what Stefano had said, and Rafe was pretty disgusted that, Stefano had been mean to her and everything. He didn't understand how they'd ever gotten together, and Kate was like, blackmail, and he's like, oh, and she's like, I don't think I know you well enough to tell you that story kind of thing. But they had some cute banter, but they also, I don't know, what I like about them so far is not only are they hot, but they sort of have adult conversations They really have dialogue, and yet they're also playful. It's like they're kind of the whole package. They're hot and sexy, but they're funny, they're playful, they're mature in a lot of ways, and I mean that in the best sense of the word. And I don't know, I think Rafe just got elevated several levels on a lot of people's radar, having put those two together. And so they're talking about the will thing and all that. They basically agreed to agree that yes, Will should be in the child's life, and you know, they also agree that they both want to go after Sammy, essentially. And oh, let's see. Then Kate goes to stand up and can't really do that very well. she's got she's basically too drunk to even walk home, much less drive home. And so Rafe, being before I forget, he did have a neat line where he was like, you know, basically admires her and was like, I know you struggled for, you know, I know you didn't have it easy. You're an amazing, you know, kind of like you're an amazing person, and you know, I knew you had a lot of struggles and you fought for everything you have and everything. I thought that was really cool because, you know, for the last month and a half, every single person in Salem's been, you know, they've gotten the slap EJ treatment, only they didn't slap her. I mean, Kate was beat up on by everybody. You know, everybody was, you know, disowning her, accusing her of things and being mean to her and everything. So I was really getting to the end of my rope on that. And it was awfully nice to see Rafe swoop in and be like, you know, wow, I really admire you. Not only are you beautiful, but you fought for everything you've gotten in life, and you didn't have it easy. You didn't start out ahead. You had to work for it. And, you know, just to have somebody be nice to Kate for a change, but not in a boring way. It's fun and playful. But I really thought he was being very sincere and everything, and the way they wrote it and the way they played it out. And then it was pretty hilarious to see Kate trying to walk away, and he's trying to help her and everything, and she's stumbling. And then they get to a point in the where they're kind of, she's tripping over herself, and he sort of helps her get straightened out. And then they're talking, and all of a sudden he swoops in for a kiss, and she doesn't seem to mind. In fact, she seemed to kind of enjoy it. So, So they kiss several times outside, incidentally on the same wall that a few minutes later Ijami seems to be kissing. So it's kind of interesting. And then next thing we know, we see them in bed. And one of the hottest scenes in the daytime's had in a long time. I think it's fair to say that they showed a lot more, and you can expand on this if you want, Carrie, but it was very, very hot, let's just put it that way, and most of us are scratching our heads trying to figure out how it got past the sensors, and we'll ask Lauren that on Monday. it was pretty sexy, and
that's as much detail as you're going into? Come on.
Yeah, no, you go for it. No, I'm shy. You know me, I'm shy. You go for it. You're not shy
at all.
I'll let you expand on things.
He looked like he was really giving it to her. That's what
he really did. He looked like he was, let's just say he was,
his hips were moving in a suggestive way that looked like he was,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, we haven't seen anything like that on Days in a long time, I don't think. It was pretty hot. Because, you know, really, when you think of the past, like, hookups that were, like, random, like Chloe and Lucas, I mean, how many times did they show them humping down a couch? It wasn't hot even once. It was not.
No.
I mean, I like
both
of those actors. I like both of those actors, I like both the characters, but they had zero chemistry. And most of the time when people hook up randomly, I don't find it, you know, that exciting, if you will. But these two, it was like, wow, you know. So I'm not going to expand anymore, except there are a lot of clothes on the floor and a lot of not clothes on the bed. And it was quite entertaining. Let's see, the next day was pretty hilarious as well. Because the next morning they wake up, you know, Kate wakes up, she's laying there, covered up, but she can tell her clothes have been removed. And they they come in with a shot of Rafe, like dangling over the side of the other side of the bed, half, you know, of course, you know, legs showing, you know, lots of nakedness showing, which was fine with me. And so he's hanging off the bed, and it looked pretty comical. It looked kind of funny. And then Kate wakes up, and she's like, where the hell am I? And then looks around. All of a sudden, she's like, okay. This is the funniest thing. I'm dying to ask Lauren about this, too. Kate picks up the sheets that are covering her chest and looks at her, a look on her face, and she realizes she's completely naked. It's pretty funny. I mean, I don't know. I just thought the way Lauren delivered that was just perfect, just dead on. And so then she realizes she slept with someone, and you can tell she's trying to think, oh, my God, who did I sleep with last night? And then she looks over, and there's Rafe, and he wakes up at some point. And anyway, so they start talking about Kate starts rambling about, she's, like, all covered up. She looks all awkward and nervous and everything, and, like she just wants to get the hell out of there. And she thinks Rafe doesn't remember anything about the night before, so she's like, great, you know, wonderful. He doesn't even remember. And she's, you know, of course they were both drunk, so they're both kind of hungover. She was so funny. Lauren was cracking me up in those scenes where she's fumbling, trying to get her clothes back on and she's got all these clothes bunched up and she's trying to get out of bed, you know, discreetly and, you know, somewhat covered, and it was just the way they played the awkwardness was hilarious. And then, you know, she starts rambling about, yes, I guess, you know, this is a mistake, and, you know, I know you think it's a mistake too, and all, and he's like, don't put words in my mouth, I didn't say that, you know. But they're just great about their honesty. Is just so fun. I find it very refreshing how honest they are with each other. So, you know, they talk back and forth about what happened the night before, and he starts remembering more about the evening as they talk. Things start coming back to his memory. He starts teasing her about, you know, some of the comments she made the night before and stumbling around and all. And I find them just very entertaining. I just think they're a joy to watch. And so, they're back and forth with this whole mistake thing. And then he basically convinces her that he didn't think it was a mistake. And she takes that cue and says, okay, what the hell? And she goes in for seconds. And he seems pretty happy with that. So they, you know, they just keep making mistakes, let's put it this way. I hope they make mistakes every day because I really enjoyed watching them. But anyway, they, you know, and then Kate's kind of trying to get, later on, she's trying to get out of bed and get dressed and get out of there. And he tells her where the key is and all this stuff. So we're like, oh, okay, he wants her to come back apparently. And so that's cool. And then, you know, they sort of, you know, part ways for the rest of the episode. And then I think it's the next couple days later, was it Friday's show? Yeah, I think it was Friday's show, that she shows up at his work because he texted her. So I think that is a positive sign. They're texting each other. It must be true love. And he shows up. And when they were talking, she was trying to tell him she didn't trust Nick because he's all about Nick. Oh, Nick's awesome. Nick's taking responsibility from the beginning, even though it wasn't his baby. And, you know, he's been a rock star, you know. And Kate's like, yeah, I don't think so. And so when she walks into his office, he's looking at Nick's prison profile and prison file and everything, his history and everything. And she immediately realizes he's taking her advice and calls him on it. And, you know, he kind of denies it or whatever. But anyway, he wants her help to deal with Sammy because he thinks that Sammy and EJ are going after Gabby and Nick. And so I don't know, so they talk and everything, but apparently they had already prearranged lunch plans because she said, oh, you know, I was in the area early and I got your text, so I just decided to go ahead and come over. So they obviously had already planned to meet together anyway. So that's another plus because, you know, usually what happens with Kate is she ends up getting, you know, somebody uses her and then she doesn't really get to have, like, a relationship. It's been hard for her a while. Well, Stefano recently, but you know, it's been kind of rough for her for a while. So anyway, so they, you know, later on they go to lunch and they're talking, and basically they she calls Nick and has Nick come over, and then he and Rafe and Kate basically provide a united front. That she mm-hmm. said something like that. I think we should show a united front towards Nick and everybody concerned, so that they know that we're looking out for the best interest of the baby and everything. And so the next scene, you see Rafe and Kate sitting on the same side of the table. Oh, but they had some cute dialogue before that. And she said something about how she trusted him. She thought he was a good man and everything. So the night before, he was validating her. And then in that episode, she was really kind of validating him, like that she sees through some things and she knows that he's a good man and that she trusts him and everything. And then later on, she turns it around and says something like, well, and I know you said you trusted me. And he goes, I didn't say that. You know, so they're just really cute. It's hard to convey that, but their banter is cute and they're fun mm-hmm. and they keep it light, but they also have mature conversations that have substance. So that's nice. And, you know, they end the episode basically confronting Nick and letting him know, putting him on notice, especially Kate, putting him on notice. They kind of play good cop, bad cop, and Kate, bad cop, Rafe, a good cop,
mm-hmm.
kind of went after him. And, you know, obviously we all know that Nick's evil, you know, but not everybody else does yet. But Kate's on to him, so I think it's pretty interesting that Kate's on to him. So I don't know where they're going to, you know, I don't know what, how the, obviously Kate and Rafe are going to be a big part of this whole baby story and everything. And as usual, you know, Kate rescues the day because it could be a really boring story, but I think with Kate involved, Kate and Rafe, I think it could actually be entertaining. So,
yeah.
So, and it sounds like they've been very well received. We're calling them Rafe, you know, Rafe
mm-hmm.
and Kate, obviously. And if you like the couple and want to, you know, gush along with the rest of us, follow at Rate Fans, R-A-T-E Fans, on Twitter. And also you can follow Lauren Coslow, at Lauren Coslow, at Galen Gehring. And, of course, let NBC, hashtag Days, and at NBC Days, let them know you like them, because we want to see more. I'm anxious to see more. I'm dying for Monday to see if they're going to be on again. So, anyway, they've been very well received so far. It seems like kind of almost universally people are like, whoa, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably because it's unexpected, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the spoiler that came out right before it, it was pretty much out of left field. But it makes sense in a lot of ways. You know, it's just
mm-hmm.
like nobody would ever have thought really, you know, you would never think that the powers would be able to put them together. But it works. It works, and it's, I don't know. What did you think? I mean, I personally enjoyed seeing Galen in a different light, seeing Rafe in a
mm-hmm.
different light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he got to have fun. He wasn't being a douche. He wasn't being condescending or being hypocrite.
Right.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
I was looking at my tweets from that day, and there were some great lines before when they were sitting down having drinks. They were talking about being members of the Sam Recovery Club.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was funny.
Yes.
And that's fine. Actually, that was the title of my tweets for Tuesday, Sam Recovery Club. And he said, he told Katie that, I said, you are beautiful. And he said that Stefano was an idiot. And he said, freak. And he starts laughing. You know, he says freak. It was funny. Oh, and Kate, there was a great line, too. Kate told Stefano on the phone that she was the best abduction he ever had.
Yes, I loved that line.
That was a good one. And he asked, how did Kate end up with Stefano anyway? And she said Stefano blackmailed him into marrying him. And Kate said that Stefano was the love of his life. And Ray said, gross. So that was funny.
I was surprised about that. I was surprised.
Yeah, gross. But you don't expect that type of reaction when you mention someone's the love of your life. And, you know.
No, it's like, I was a huge Kate fan, but still, I personally would have preferred that he hadn't said that, just because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know, I was a little sensitive about that, But it was funny the way he delivered the line. It was just so immediate, gross, so deadpan. It was funny. But, I mean, it hurt my little state heart a little bit when he said that. But I forgave him. I quickly forgave him. But they,
well, you
yeah,
see from his point of view, yeah, because,
yeah.
I mean, Stefano is about, say, about 20 years older than Kate. I mean, you could...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, he's not, you know, a young hunk either, you know, Stefano. So I could see why he would say gross. And it was funny.
Well, and plus so. they held him captive for how many, like, for months, you know.
Yeah,
well,
that's true. Yeah, and they were drugging him. And, yeah.
But I just like the way that they just are so natural with each other. I don't know.
Yeah, they seem real comfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, and when she's having problems walking and... she said to him, "Oh, I'd like to see you walk in heels," and he said, "You'd have to pay to see that."
Yes.
There were some really, really good lines.
There
I probably
were.
Missed half of them.
There were.
Yeah.
And then at one point when they were, right before he kissed her, when she was stumbling and he ended up against the wall,
mm-hmm.
that stone thing or whatever, he said, "He's an easy tiger." It was really cute. So, I mean, I don't know. I just find them very appealing and entertaining. And it's like I want to see more. It's like that's the
mm-hmm.
thing. It's like it's been a while since there's been a couple on there. I mean, when you got Dannifer and who are some of the other, you know, to choose from. It's like, you know, Dannifer and Briston or whatever to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, thank goodness there's actually a couple that I don't fast forward through that I'm actually looking forward to seeing, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I think there's more to come, but I think it's obvious that this pairing, it kind of shows both characters in a little bit different light than we've seen them in. And I just think that's fun. I don't know. I'm enjoying that. And so I don't know. I hope that it continues and that we get to have a lot of fun with them. So.
Yeah, the scene where they're kind of teaming up on Nick, it was a nice surprise because you wouldn't expect that. But also
right.
says too that they have a bond now and they're trusting each other.
Right.
That you know because it could
right.
you know because you never know. I mean, that one of them might be gaming the other one that you know for the baby that
right.
You know, and Kate's trying to tell him, you need to look out for this guy.
Right.
And Rafe kind of didn't see it, but he sort of, you know, she did catch him looking
yeah.
through his file. You know, he,
uh-huh.
I mean, you know, if someone's your brother-in-law, you really shouldn't investigate, you know, what they were up to in prison. So,
yeah,
yeah those were really nice scenes, and I liked how where they, because they were really the first people to really say something to Nick about. You know, you're kind of the loose cannon here, you know. It's not really Sammy, it's not Will, it's not Gabby, it's really you.
Right.
So, yeah, so that
right.
was
right,
kind of
calling
nice
him on his crap, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, but obviously Rafe's not going to think that Gabby was the one manipulative. Of course he's going to think it was Nick.
Right.
So...
Yeah. So yeah, I think this is going to. I feel an umbrella story here. I think it's gonna. I just have a feeling this is going to get bigger and bigger. You know, as it
yeah.
goes through. You know.
Yeah. In a way, though, I really don't want to see a custody battle in court. But
yeah.
usually, court scenes are chintzy anyway.
Yeah.
You have people
right.
like. Well, with Bo out of town, that's one good thing is we don't have to watch Bo stand out and start bad-mouthing the judge or the witnesses. So that
right.
drove me nuts. But, I mean, no cop would ever do that. So, but,
yeah,
I'll kind of hope that the whole thing doesn't go to court.
It probably would. You know, when you think about it, they don't really have court sets anymore, it seems like. So, you know, back
yeah.
in the day, it seemed like they did a lot more court scenes than they do now. So, I have a feeling that it's probably not going to... I mean, I could be wrong, but...
No, there is going to be a court scene.
Oh,
because,
okay.
yes, on the blog, the Diesel blog, Separate Digest posted on their website that Days is
oh,
casting
right.
a
yes.
special prosecutor,
a minority woman. They wanted either black or Asian, 35 to 50.
Huh.
So, but that's a prosecutor, though. So that means someone committed a crime, not a, custody battle. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I actually did read that on the blog. So there. I actually did click on the link, and I did see the Diva blog pop up, but I did read it there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. I just enjoying this and hope that they, you know, give them some airtime and a chance to, I mean, the good thing, too, is I'm thinking, you know, Ray's on a lot. He usually gets a lot of airtime, so I'm like, hey, if Kate can be in the get the benefit of that, I'm even happier.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but I really want to give props to both of them, both actors, because they took what had to have been challenging of like, wow, okay, this came out of left field, and they really made it work, and it was just it's just exciting, and I think they're really captivating people, and you know, really, I mean, I'd say probably like 98% positive from everything I've seen on Twitter. I mean, I know there's some people that are going to be haters no matter what, but it's like, you know, it seems like it's spanning the, it's kind of, I'm not going to say universal because I don't know that yet, but it seems like it was like sort of near universal, kind of like, wow, you know, cool, you know, so I love that. I just am excited for both actors and both, and excited for the fans to get a fun couple that's entertaining and hot and, you know, mature. And, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think the only people bashing were kind of like young men that maybe don't, I mean, I think they're getting caught up with the ages, with you know, the age difference, and they're not really looking at, okay, here's two beautiful people.
I mean,
people.
Kate looks gorgeous. I mean,
she looks amazing.
Stunning.
I mean, we've both met Lauren in person. She's a knockout. So I remember.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, I remember coming home talking to my husband and saying, oh my God, she's, I guess, 11 years older than me, I think it would be. No, I said, no. Oh boy, no. It's 21 years older than me. I said, she's way harder than I am. And I'm not frumpy, okay? I don't want to toot my
own
horn.
You're a very attractive woman, yes, definitely.
Oh, thank you. I'll go.
You are.
That sounds great. But when you look at hotness factor, it's Lauren. Seriously. And she's itty-bitty. She's absolutely tiny. I mean, I think she has like a Scarlett O'Hara 18-inch waist.
crazy. Yeah.
And she dresses like Kate. She wears those fierce boots and... You know, she's
a
fierce dresser.
She has a sock and hosiery obsession. Boots. She's great. I love it.
Yes. So, she dresses like Kate. She dresses sexy, and she's so gorgeous and so sexy. She can dress like that, you know. She's not wearing sweats and mom jeans and stuff.
Right. And so from Ray's perspective, what's not to love? And I mean, from her perspective... Wow, I mean, you know, it's like, it's nice for her to get some, it's nice for Kate to get some action and get it on camera, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so frustrating, like, she's got such talent and such, and she's gorgeous and everything, and it's like, none of that ever gets to air usually, because, you know, with Stefano and Kate, all we got, I mean, I love them, but, you know, we would just get little kisses in the living room or whatever. I mean, we never once got to see them even, like, kissing in their bedroom or even just talking in their bedroom, much less anything else. And, you know, that's frustrating for fans who really enjoy a pairing, you know, to not see them in normal situations, normal couple situations. So
right.
I love that they just dove right in, so to speak, this couple. And so what I think will be interesting is as people figure out they're together, I think that's going to be an entertaining aspect of this as well. Because
this might be
more
interesting.
Were you the one that – somebody was joking, I don't know if it was you or who it was, that said, Johnny asks if she's going to get a special FBI jacket. Somebody was joking about that. But, anyway, you know, and it dawned on me, too, today, because I was rewatching some of their scenes, and it occurred to me, you know, Kate does seem to like some men in law enforcement, I got to say, you know, which is always interesting considering her past and in some ways her present at times. That, you know, but, you know, Roman was, you know, Salem PD. John was in, well, I don't know exactly what he was, but, you know, he was in some sort of
ISA back then.
ISA and all that. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I have to get whoever, if anyone's listening out there and they had anything to do with putting Kate and Rafe together, thank you. I appreciate it greatly. And good job. And I will say, too, I really like Melissa Salmons. I've been noticing Salmons, or I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. It's spelled like Salmon, like the fish with an S on the end. But I've been noticing that she's been on the credits for – her name is listed last on the – when they do the writer credits, the person whose name is listed last is a script writer for that episode. And she's been on several of the ones that I thought were really good lately, like the jammy scenes where their dialogue was just out of this world. It captured everything every jammy could ever dream of kind of thing a couple weeks ago and everything. It seems like Melissa's been in the credits when those episodes have aired. And she did, I think she did two out of three of the episodes that had rate this week. And, you know, and I'm usually a Colton fan. I think, you know, the Coltons rock. They're the best. They're the best. I mean, absolutely. But I have to say, she's been catching my attention because, you know, when I really enjoy a script or I think the dialogue is really good, I'll look at, I'll make a point of looking to see who wrote it. And it's been her a lot of the time lately, and it used to just be the Coultons, and David Levinson's good too. But, you know, I just really have been impressed with her. And I know some I've talked to some people who, one friend was saying that they weren't a big fan of hers because she gets her, the historical accuracies are a bit skewed. But honestly, as far as the dialogue goes, I've really found some of her stuff to be some of the best in the last 3-4 weeks. So, kudos to her, you know.
Well, she needs to keep writing those love scenes then. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. We need to send, that's who we need to write to. Dear Melissa, please.
Dear Melissa, we have more rape sex, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Please. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess EJ asked Rafe about Kate, but that's one of the spoilers, so I'm not sure exactly in what context. But, man, that would be, when this thing starts exploding, because, I mean, you know, Brady and Kristen, yeah, they were, that was a big surprise. But, I mean, Kate and Rafe, I mean, you never would have saw that one coming at all. I mean, well, really, Brady and Kristen, that's about a 12-year age difference. I mean, and Brady and Kate have been in each other's orbits, what, for about 4 or 5 years now? So it just never, you know, it was just a really nice surprise.
Yeah. And I mean, great that the show kept it a secret for much of the time until the very end, until like maybe a week or two. So I think that's great. I think they did a great job of, you know, keeping that on the DL.
Yeah, it was soap opera source that really were the ones who let it out about a week before. So you can look back at the spoilers. They just said Rafe slept with somebody. So they really were trying to keep the secret, but I think probably Super Digest, that they probably had it out a week before anyway, they didn't normally do. But, yeah, we didn't know about it 3 weeks in advance. So, you know what? I'm going to bring Marianne on, and then I'm going to bring on Amanda, and then I'm going to bring on Angela. Yeah, we have that many people on hold. Yeah, thank you.
I want to hear Marianne pick on Ijami.
Marianne?
Hello?
Hey, Marianne.
Hi.
Hey,
I heard you,
hey,
Anna. I heard you. You said you wanted my take on Ijami.
Oh, yeah. I'm dying to hear what you think.
Yeah. And I'm sure I just got on here, so I don't know what you guys have talked about. I'm sure you gave the whole rate.
yeah.
Rundown. Okay.
I want to hear your take on that too. Naughty,
well,
dude, cute.
What's that? Probably like everybody else. When I first heard from there, oh my God, you know, poor Kate, poor Lauren, you know, because I'm just not a Ray fan. But I have to admit, it was thanks to Lauren, I think, it was very hot, I thought. Funny, kind of funny, you know, when she was drunk. Mm-hmm. That was funny. Mm-hmm. And when she looked under the covers and realized what she did.
That was hysterical.
I know, everybody just the laugh, you know, the look on her face. I thought it was also like after, you know, while they were drunk and had drunk sex, and then they were sober in the morning, and then she said, like, oh, what the hell, you know,
mm-hmm.
and did it again. So, yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting pairing. But what I like to see is there's somebody over 50, you know, having a hot sex scene, so,
yeah.
and with a younger guy. So it's about time, you know.
Yeah.
It's about time they had any kind of sex scene. And we did get that with EJ and Sammy before, but this is with Kate. So I think it's a good storyline. I think it could be good for her now that she's working with Rafe now to, you know, check up on Nick.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like working
mm-hmm.
together, you know. So that's
yep.
that's kind of interesting too. So,
yeah.
And Jamie, yeah, they were cute. Oh, just adorable on, was that Friday? Friday. When she thought he was proposing to her with the whole ring thing. Yeah. That was adorable. He was, I thought it was going to be, he was just going to keep fooling her, and then eventually he was going to propose, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole thing when she's laying there with his tie around her neck, and yeah. And what did he say to her? Something about the diamonds. No matter how the diamond cuts or sparkles, there's not enough words or whatever to tell how he loves her or something. I don't know. I forget what it was, but it was just what every girl, you know, that's, well, yeah, fairy tale, but,
uh-huh.
you know, what every girl wants to hear. And, yeah, they're cute. I do like them. Whether, how long it's going to last, who knows? You know, they can't be happy for too long, I guess. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Did you guys discuss Jamie? Too? What did you?
We were talking about Kate and Rafe the entire time.
You mean the whole 40 minutes was Kate and Bauer.
Well, I knew you wanted to talk about Jamie.
Let's go. I wanted to hear what you thought about Rafe, because I think that's what everyone's talking about.
They got buzz like you wouldn't believe. I'm just so excited for the show, for Lauren and Galen, and for us to get to watch
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just interested to see what happens when Stefano comes back, because he is on his way back.
He's not going to be happy. I bet it's going to be one of those, I don't want her, but I don't want anybody else to have her either.
Right, I'm wondering what he's
going to,
especially when he hears who it is, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
What you're saying, Kate, about Rafe, Kate's, sorry, I called you Kate, Anna, I'm sorry.
I take that as a compliment.
About, I would take that one, too. Yeah, Kate's fetish with law enforcement men, I think that's smart. Because Rafe covered up Sammy shooting EJ in the head.
Yeah, so, there you go.
Yeah, you know, and you know, instead of marrying someone like Stefano, you know, next time Kate wants to poison somebody with brownies, Rafe will just cover it up for her. So.
Immediately the evidence bag will be removed from the evidence room. Exactly.
Yep.
Always helpful to have help from the inside.
Oh, it does. And from a non-Brady, too.
Yeah.
And I guess Rafe knows what happened to, I guess it ended Friday. He told Nick he knows what happened to him in prison.
Yes.
He's been reading it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's another reason. I think that's the main reason why he wants with this whole thing. It is because Sonny and Will are gay.
Yeah,
Nick doesn't want the baby raised by them for that reason, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he said to Gabby, he said,
he was blaming Sonny for some of stuff going on with Will and the paternity test. He said, "Oh yeah, the other gay boy." And,
the other gay boy.
Gabby, yeah, and Gabby actually stood up for Will and Sonny. So it's the first time she really did it, and he tried to excuse it, saying he wasn't trying to be rude or ignorant, or and he was though.
I don't know if you think this, but if Gabby and Will, if everybody would just leave Gabby and Will alone and stop getting at them, Gabby and Will could work this out between them.
Right.
It's everybody, the influence of Nick on Gabby, Sammy and EJ on Will, and Rafe on Gabby. If all the other, I guess, adults, with the older one, would let them alone, I think they could, it's all that influence from them, I think they could do a better job, just the two of them, working it out and arranging arrangements and having, why do they want to fight for total custody? Why can't they have, joint custody?
Yeah, there's a reason why
they
can't
have
joint.
Well, why can't you have joint? Why does it have to be, why is Sammy so, it has to be, we're going to fight for custody, or Nick has to fight for total custody. It's like, why can't it be joint custody like Gabby and Will want it to be?
Because she hates Gabby now.
Because we wouldn't have a, what's that?
Yeah. She hates Gabby now, too.
Yeah, because she thinks Gabby tried to keep the baby away from Will.
Right. Well, I don't like Gabby either, but it just seems like they'd be, if everybody would let them alone, they could, work it out. But, of course, then we won't have the drama of the, we wouldn't have a story.
Right. Well, and I'm kind of glad they're at least giving, not that there's any excuse for his homophobic, his bashing them and stuff. But, so I'm not defending that behavior, but at least from a character's perspective, at least they're giving, it's not just that he suddenly became homophobic or whatever. If he was really, raped in prison and stuff or whatever happened, it's like at least that gives his character a basis. It's not just all plot-driven. There's an actual reason why he became homophobic or whatever. And again, it doesn't excuse the behavior.
Why he has
but,
those feelings.
But at least it gives the character some basis for why they're acting that way. Because it seemed like back in the Dena Higley days, it would just be, okay, he's acting that way because I need for there to be a story and to be for there to be drama, and so I got to make him anti-gay. You know what I mean? So at least they're giving his character a reason or some basis for why he feels that way. And I think that's good because it's not so transparent and, cut and dried and everything. There's more layers to it than just that he just doesn't like them together because they're gay or whatever. So, I'm glad that they're throwing that into the mix because I think that's important for the character and for it to not be, totally just plot-driven or whatever, so.
Let me bring on Amanda. She's been on hold such a long time, and,
sure.
I just feel so bad about that.
Oh.
Hey, Amanda?
Hi.
Hey!
How are you guys doing? I've been enjoying what you guys have been talking about. Speaking of something that wasn't, right? I actually didn't mind Ray for once, but he'll be insufferable next week. He can't help it. Because let's be honest,
I was dying to know what you thought because I know you're a huge Ray fan.
But she's another one that doesn't like Ray.
What I don't like about Ray is he's so hypocritical and he thinks he's better than everybody. But I didn't mind him this week, because he was actually funny for once. He wasn't so stupid. It was nice.
Well,
of course, he'll be stupid.
Part of it is Galen's actually really funny, and it's kind of like Brian. Brian is naturally funny, too. And when they let Lucas be that way, it's so much more enjoyable because it's part of Brian coming out. And I think we got to see, Galen getting to use that comedic side of himself in the scenes this week. Because honestly, I absolutely hated the Rafe 1 and the Foe 1 and 2 story. I absolutely hated that. But you know what? I was rooting for Rafe 2 because I actually liked him. I mean, it's like, and I think it's because kind of goes back to what you said, Amanda. You know, the other Rafe was so hypocritical and everything. And, you know, and Carrie, you had mentioned earlier, I think, about how, you know, Rafe is kind of just, I don't know, judgmental and everything.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, attitudes and stuff. And, like, Rafe, too, was sort of unleashed. You know, he was just sort of, like, he was just funnier. He was more relaxed and everything. And not that I think that this is the same character. I mean, I'm not saying that it's the same,
right.
You know, he's not playing it the same way. But it's kind of giving us another, I think him playing against Lauren, and again, you know, Allie's wonderful too, but
mm-hmm.
I think playing against the character, since he's not had any other female relationship on the show since he first came on, I think this is the only, you know, Sammy was the only one he had been with. And
mm-hmm.
so for him to kind of get to play in scenes with a different actress, and, you know, it's going to obviously bring out other aspects of the character. And also, I think with the writing, the way they're trying to do, you know, do the writing, or the way the writing is, I think it is allowing him to be a little freer, to be
right.
funnier, and that kind of thing. So, I don't know.
Oh, was it who annoyed me the week the most? Oh, that would have to be Gabby. Just when I think she couldn't sink any lower, I'm like, I didn't think it was possible for her to suck any more than she does. Well, she's having this, I think it was Friday, when she's having this conversation with Nick, and she's talking about, you're talking about blackmail, she's worried about he'll, you know, his parole and all that. I'm like, so she's okay with blackmailing the father of a child and her best friend. I mean, what
mm-hmm.
the hell is wrong with you? And
mm-hmm.
then he comes over and she acts all sweet and nice, and I'm going, oh, dear God, Will, run for your life. Get that kid away from her right now. I'm in an appointment. I don't think she should, I think, you know, she'd be allowed to see the kid, but I think he should have full custody. And she can see the kid whenever she wants. Because I'm
mm-hmm.
afraid that she's going to, like, meet some other psycho or someone else she's going to focus on, like she did with Chad. And she's going to, like, I don't know, like, hire somebody, do some crazy stuff. And that kid's going to end up, like, dead or something. I just don't trust Gabby to take care of her baby. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, dear Lord. But what bothers me so much is what is just that what, she switches it on and off. Like, and when Nick said, well, you know, yeah, we have to go that way, but it'll be up to Will. Like, it's, you know, I'm like, whatever. I'm like, really? And she's like, agreeing with it. I'm going, someone smack her. What is, she's going to have, like, no friends at this point. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I do say the surprising scene that I saw this week, I did, was not spoiled or whatever, was the shower fantasy scene on
oh,
Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I went, oh, it was too short, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
And it wish it had been a little longer, but I'm like, I never thought I'd see a scene like that on Days of Our Lives.
That's what everybody was saying on Twitter. And I saw the tweets before I saw the scene. And, yeah, I expected it to be longer, but considering how much buzz it was about that scene. But, yeah, there was a lot of talk about the shower this week.
And I'm
Twitter.
Going, first of all, and then the first thought that went to my head, and I'm sorry, I apologize for this, is why is it taking this long for us to see Freddie Smith's chest? I swear to God, they always had that friggin' awful black tank top shirt on them. Whenever
mm-hmm.
they do bed scenes, I'm like, why does it take so long to show that off? He goes, that man's got nice backs. I'm sorry, he does. Why is
mm-hmm.
it taking this long? And I'm going, he was just, he looked good. Let's put it that way. Anyway, and I'm like, it was nice to actually see that. It was like a normal scene. And like,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's nice. And of course, it was not spoiled or whatever, so it was a nice little surprise. Although, I know a lot of people talked about the whole Blake Bear scene when you had a heart in front of him where his dick should be. That was a little much. I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
Oh, I'm there. Oh.
I can't imagine. I felt so bad for Blake. I'm thinking, he must have read the script and went, oh, crap. He goes, oh, dear Lord, how am I going to do this one? And that looks stupid. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, my God. I did laugh because I just didn't expect that. When he opened the door, I went, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, the Wilson shower scene. That was pretty good. That's pretty hot.
I enjoyed that. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
well,
they're so cute together. I'm rooting for them, you know.
Yeah, when this thing cracked me up, and someone pointed this out on Twitter, and I was hysterical, right after he, like, kissed Brian, he really flashes the Will of him, going, oh, Brian, you have no hope in hell. Your kiss is that boring. I mean, come on. You really have no hope. I mean, come on. You know what's never a good sign on soap when you kiss a new person and you're really thinking about your ex? I mean, you know what's going to happen. Come on. You never... And Brian's a douche anyway. He can go away. And it's like kind of like he's trying to act like all nice and sweet. We all know he's not, you know. Like, and they do it any kind of interloper they bring in for, like, you know, opposing a couple, which is nice because it's like every other storyline for couples, which is nice to see. But I'm kind of going, Oh, damn it. And then I like that scene on Friday when they're kind of bonding at the coffee house, and then he had to show up. I went, oh, go away. Why did it go away? Yeah, I do enjoy them together. I do. Also, what else did I like this week? Lucas this week. I like the Lucas and Will scenes, which I really enjoy. I wish they'd have more of them.
Yes,
and I love the fact
I
they
agree.
Both pointed, I think both pointed out, we can't tell Sandy about this. She'll make it worse. Because she would. She's going to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think my dad, he watches the show too, because I kind of got him watching it because he got sucked in like last year when I got him into it. And he kind of said, he says, why is Nick so delusional? Because doesn't he realize, because I personally feel, because obviously he's going to blackmail Will and all that stuff. And I think Gabby's going to go along with it. And then Will's going to be like, you bitch. But my dad goes, is Nick actually this delusional? And Gabby's delusional, thinking he's just magically going to go away and no one's going to care. You know, Kay's not going to care, or Sammy, who's already going crazy about Gabby. But somehow, mm-hmm. you know, she's, you know, then there's EJ and there's Lucas. Are they just delusional, thinking they have the right to this kid and Will should be anywhere near this kid? And he's been, like, really nice about the whole damn thing, as far as I'm concerned. And my dad goes, Sammy's going to kill him. And Kay's going to want to beat the crap out of him. You know,
someone's
I mean, right
going to get
like,
killed, though, right? I think someone's going to get, you know, someone gets a gun or something. Isn't that in the spoilers? Someone's going to get killed? Someone's going to get
my
shot or something?
My first thought was, I better not be Will getting shot, because Kate will, like, I'll give him a brownie or something. Here, Nick, have a brownie or something. Because, you know, right now she's saying, you know what, right now he seems like, okay. But, you know, if she tries to pull some crap overtly with Will, she finally figures out what's going on. Kate's going to, like, make his life a living hell, and I can't wait for that.
Oh, yes.
Does anyone doubt that Gabby's going to go along with the blackmail? I think she's going to go along with it, just so she gets what she wants. I really believe
that.
Oh,
yeah.
And my dad says, he's like, he's waiting for the scene when Will finally sees her for the really the manipulative bitch she really is and just go, okay. You know, because I start thinking of the scenes when he went off on Sammy, like, last year, and I think it's going to be worse than that. You know what I mean? When he just, let loose. I'm going, because Chandler Massey just does outrage and anger and pain like no one had ever seen. And he's going to, like, lose it. And I think, was it Freddie Smith did an interview talking about stuff that's going to start airing, where he gets to do stuff to his character that he's been wanting to do for a long time. So I'm kind of wondering if he's going to be bringing out the inner Kiriakis that's going to come out. You know what I mean? Going, oh, I don't think so. Don't forget, I don't think he's going to stand by and let his, you know, soon-to-be boyfriend again, of course, be screwed over by this too, because he can't stand them. We all know he thinks they're manipulators and they're useless.
Oh, he's threatening Gabby
already.
You know, he's watching
her. He said
if
you hurt Will, you know, he's even said this after they're broken up, you know, if you hurt him in any way, you know, it's not going to let that happen. So I'm kind of wondering we're going to see a little more of that side come out of him, you know, which I would love to see, you know, so. What do you guys think?
About Sonny?
Yeah, would you like to see that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Victor would be more than willing to help out.
Oh, you could tell when he talks to Gabby, you could tell he cannot stand Gabby. And he, you know, I'm just waiting for him to spill the beans about, you know, the whole what she did. You know,
well,
Bethino's and Chad, one of the others it's going to come out.
I think
what
they're going to do is they're going to try to blackmail Will. He's going to be like, oh, hell no. Like, Will didn't pay for this is a line that I was hysterical. I was watching with my brother, and he was hysterical, where Nick goes, well, at least I paid for my crimes. No, there's Gabby who hasn't paid for anything. She's going, I'm going, oh, you really, bitch? Seriously? I'm going, she hasn't paid for anything.
I know, that
was,
like, delusional nuts, Nick?
And what was it that my brother said? Well, at least Will actually had some remorse. You know, after he shot him, he's, like, drinking because he can't handle it. And you could tell he felt bad his father went to jail. Meanwhile, these two don't feel guilty about anything. You know? At least, yeah, Will has issues, but at least he has a conscience. These people are like, and then Gabby, after Will left, she goes, what's your viewpoint, Will? I'm going, oh, God, he's done everything she's asked. I'm like, shut up. Shut up. You're just annoying me. More than Rafe usually does, and that's saying something. I don't know, maybe in a few years, if she gets away from Nick, she might actually grow up and maybe she'll be a good mom one day. I just don't see it yet. I'm just afraid she's going to hurt that kid or something.
I don't know. What does bug me, I'm sorry, I'd take 2 seconds, is that I wish Will would get a job. If
he needs
really
to work for EJ or something.
He needs to get a job.
So back to work with EJ.
Yeah, how's he expect to raise his kid? Yeah, when he's living with his mom, and she already has three little ones running around. I mean, where are they even going to put this baby? You know, is he going to raise it with Sonny at Sonny's place? You know, yeah.
Well, remember,
he's not the one fighting
for custody. That's Sammy. His viewpoint right now, he's fine with that baby living with Nick and Gabby. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think he's bending more backwards for that wench, and she's being really horrible with him. You know, she's gotten she's been calling the shots all along. He's let her do all sorts of stuff and make these decisions because it's what she wants. Because he says, "Here, this is what you want." And he's always asking her that. I'm kind of like, yeah, I'd like to see him get a job. Yeah, I think I would not be surprised if he goes, you know what? After finding out how horrible they really are, I think he will probably get pissed and he'll probably go, "Hey, AJ, can I have a job?" And you know, EJ will hire him. Come on now. I guess he'll have to get a move out. I don't think he's even... Is he living at that dorm? Also, we found out this week he's living in the dorm. Did anybody know that? I didn't. I think he's living with Sammy. No. He's always over there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he was... Yeah, I forgot about the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe he should move into the Demerara college,
yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see him move into the Demerara mansion, though. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
There's more than enough room, and come on, when's the last time we saw that set? And he seemed so comfortable over that house when he was working with EJ.
We need them all to get back in there.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see, like, EJ and Sammy and the kids move in there. And
right.
That'd be
cool.
And, I, you know, Will there and whatever.
Brady and Kristen. Stefano come back.
What was I going to say? What did you guys think of Nicole this week? I loved her this week.
Oh, yes. We have to talk about Nicole and Eric.
I saw when she was dressed in that
black dress and she was going to go out.
Did that collar come off yet? That's all I want to know.
That collar. I thought it was green. When she bent over that desk, man, did you see he was looking? Yeah.
Yes, he was. I saw that.
It's going to happen, yes. He's telling her, you know, go take that dress, you know, don't go out, but he was checking her out the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What I really like about that dynamic so much is that she's trying so hard to put distance between them because she actually was trying to do the right thing for him. She really does not want to hurt him in any way. And she probably knows, well, she knows herself enough to know that she could really do some damage there. And she's actually trying not to do that. And it's so interesting to see that. And the part where I think I almost lost it, when she's at the door and she's leaving, and she goes, "I wish I could see myself the way you see me." And I was like, oh, my God, she broke my heart when she said that. She's like, had these tears in her eyes. Arianne Zucker is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You can see how much his opinion of her matters so much to her. You can just tell. It was just great.
Yeah, and people, well, that one person that was annoying me on the blog, you know, who don't get Nicole's appeal, it really is Ari. Because if it wasn't for Ari, I think Nicole probably would have been killed off 10 years ago, you know, with all the nasty things she's done. But, you know, she makes you feel bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So.
Yeah, you want her to do good. You want her to have that happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what she does, there's just, you kind of understand why she does it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
She's rootable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unlike Jennifer.
Oh,
my God.
Jennifer. They just need to get Chloe and Daniel back together because they deserve each other, you know? I don't know. Jennifer, I don't know who she deserves, but I don't know.
I don't know. I've never really been a big Jennifer fan. I don't know. I think she's too holier than that for me.
Jack.
And that turns me off. It's the same thing that I don't like about Rafe, where they're perfect and all this other stuff, and it kind of gets like, I don't like that. I want to have some more, like, bad qualities, because that's more human to me. I think because she acts like she's, you know, womanist queen of the town, I just don't like that. It just turns me off.
They need to dress her better, too. I mean, there was Kristen looking, like, really sexy, and Jennifer had that red velvet dress that looked like she took a pair of drapes, you know, like the old Gone with the Carol Burnett thing.
So annoying.
That dress was ugly, and her hair looked like Princess Leia or whatever from the back. I mean, and then Kristen had the long hair. Jennifer's a pretty girl. I mean, or, you know, Jennifer Reese with the long blonde hair, like, fix her hair, make her look sexy. They never make her look sexy, ever.
Mm-hmm.
They make her look, and that's, I guess, why. I guess they do it on purpose, I guess. Maybe she'd be even like her more. I don't know. There's just something about her anymore. I don't care for her either.
What was it? I think it was kind of annoying. After when her and Daniel having that talk, and he, you know, she admitted that she lied about where they were and all this stuff, and she's talking about, well, Chloe's going to pull this crap. And he's like, so what? He's kind of like, you know, I would handle it. You know what I mean? But, you know, and I was kind of like, people are getting mad at Daniel because, you know, Chloe's evil, so you should, like, what are you supposed to do, get rid of the mother of his kid, get her away? I'm kind of like, Jennifer should, yeah, Chloe's pulling some crap. I understand why she's annoyed.
Yeah, I understand why Jennifer lied.
But if emergency happens, Chloe needs to know where Daniel is. I mean, that kid could have almost died, and he wouldn't have gotten there, mm-hmm. if he hadn't gotten there in time. If something had happened, he never would have forgiven himself. It would have been Jennifer's fault. You know what I mean? I understand where she's coming from, but at the same time, I'm like, if I was a parent and I almost wasn't there for something like that, I think I'd be really pissed off. And I'd be wondering, why didn't you trust me enough to handle this whole situation? Because if he knows Chloe's still into him, he's not stupid. He knows she's pulling some crap. At the same time, he's trying to make nice with her because that's still the month. He kind of pointed out to her, wasn't that surprised that Chloe's pulling some crap. He goes, yeah, so. I was like, so he's not oblivious to it, you know? It's kind of
like
Brady. I would have dealt with it. Yeah. Unlike Brady, who's, oh, God, Brady. You poor bastard. Seriously. And the thing is, no matter how stupid he is, I can't help but like Brady. I don't know why.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I like him to grow some brain.
He's so
yeah,
darn
he's
cute.
Just, I think how Eric Marsoff plays him, even though he wants to believe in love so badly, these bad things keep happening, as you pointed out this week, that, you know, they die on him. And you're like... And it was funny, is that he's telling her why things seem to happen, and at the same time, Chris is listening and trying to, you know, she wants him to agree to marry him, and she's kind of like going, oh, my God. And at the same time, you feel like I'm going, oh, she's totally falling in love with him. I'm like, oh, this is going to blow. It's really going to blow up in her face. I'm kind of going, I can't wait to watch it happen, though. But at the same time, I'm like, it's like a car thing, and an accident happens. You can't help but take your eyes off of it. You know it's going to be bad, but you can't help but watch it. Because you like, feel so bad, because Brady just is like, he wants to be happy so badly, then it always ends so badly for him. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to lose that. And it's kind of like, oh, you poor bastard. Really, I feel so bad for him this week. It's like, I mean, when he's explaining about Ariana and Madison and all that stuff, I'm going, okay. All right, Brady. It's going to be bad really soon for you. I'm so sorry for you.
You know, I'm going to bring on Angela. She's been on for a while, too. Okay, if I can get it going. Angela, is that you, 770?
Yes. Hey, Carrie. How are you doing?
Hey. What's up?
Well, I've had it's a good week on days. I've talked to about three people on Twitter this week that had either given up on days quite some time ago, one or two regimes. Who've come back or have really been watching and were really impressed this week. And, I mean, they clearly have watched every detail, you know, especially the Valentine's Day episode. I think, you know, there was so much discussion on Twitter about it that a lot of people, you know, I think, tuned in. I'm anxious to see what the ratings are, too. I haven't seen that yet. But I thought it was an awesome week. Obviously, as an E. Janney fan, I'm drinking in every piece of it because I think we've waited long enough to be able to see it and to hear it, and so it was exciting. I liked what Amanda was saying about Gabby, and it fits in. If y'all have not watched the video on Sony, the E. Janney or the E. J. and Finney love story, it's like 5 minutes.
It was awesome.
Really, because it is hysterical and it's so good. And James Scott and Allison Swinney are basically sitting there just like we are, talking about the show almost, you know. But I loved what Allison said about, and they show like a clip. They'll show a clip like of Gabby, and she'll say, "She said Sandy would never have gotten away with all of this stuff for this long. You know, why did Gabby get away with all of this?"
Yes, she's
so
right.
And I feel like, from what I'm just hearing bits and pieces of, that we really are kind of building, like y'all said, to a kind of an umbrella story that's going to involve, a lot of these different people. And to me, Gabby's sins have just stacked and stacked and stacked. And so I keep thinking, yeah, let's go ahead, we'll just put this in the closet for, because eventually the whole thing is going to blow up. Because
oh, boy,
she's crazy. She really is a diabolical person. So I think that's going to make it interesting. Marianne was talking about this too, is that there were some leaks a long time ago about somebody in Salem buys a gun, and they hired someone, I guess, to be the gun seller or whatever, and unless they've changed all of that, I'm assuming we'll see some of that in a couple of months. And I don't think EJ's out buying a gun. EJ's got plenty of guns. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how that goes. And then Wally Kurth had leaked or said that, he was back filming because he's helping defend EJ on something. So I kind of wonder if EJ will get, will either take the blame or be blamed for something. People love to blame him. Whether he's guilty of it or not, he's usually the first suspect. So
I heard about that. I was wondering if they're going to bring around back again the whole thing about the embezzlement thing, maybe. Because I was wondering about that. Because we all know he was behind that and stealing the money and that. Do you think? Because they kind of applied with something about when he was in office or something about. You know what I mean?
I don't know. That story was not very well received, and I wonder if they're going to go back and pick that story back up again, because I think, I don't know. They've got a new regime in there, and I'm kind of leaning towards that somebody is going to get, I hate to guess who it will be, but someone on the canvas will get shot and killed, and then it will be, who killed them, and or it's someone that we really love that got set up and killed them, and then somebody else maybe will take the blame, just like Lucas took the blame for Will, in 2007, then somebody else will step up and take the blame, and especially if it turns out to be someone that we really love that has done something heinous, So I think
maybe
the show
be Will again.
There's so many good little pieces that are just kind of that is excited. The other thing too is that was a friend of mine kept saying, EJ and Sammy just aren't on enough. And of course, being an EJ and Sammy fan, I agree with that. Especially right now when it's just so cute and so sweet, and they just are beautiful. They're just nice to look at, and it's just interesting. But or at least just for me. But I think that, I was looking at it, and they're on about 4 days a week for about 9 minutes. So, that's about an episode a week, of that. And so, I started thinking about, the Rafe and Kate piece, which surprisingly, and I agree with what Anna was saying, I really, just like Mary and Marianne too, I'm not a big Rafe fan at all. And, and when I heard the news, I was going, please do that. But it really is quite good. And there's so much, there's so much opportunity there for everybody. I mean, there's so many shocks. Can you imagine Lucas's reaction when he finds out?
Sammy is,
I mean,
when Sammy finds out,
That's going to be great. So and then the rivalry between, I've always loved the rivalry between Kate and Sammy, but so much of it was always based on Lucas, Kate being kind of the mother hen over Lucas and wanting to protect her child, and from this what she considered to be just this evil Sammy. Well, this whole story feeds into that so well too, because there's going to be so much that Sammy and Kate will have in common about wanting to protect Will, and the baby. But yet, then there's also the rival, especially now if Kate's involved with Rafe, even though Sammy's supposedly over Rafe. So I just think that all of that, just this whole piece is just very intricately. I can't even talk tonight. Designed to kind of build and to where we really are going to have, which we really need on the show, and we haven't had, and even if we've had attempts at it, it's always failed in the last really in the last 5 or 6 years, we really haven't had what I think is a really, really good umbrella story. They did a lot with the kidnapping. There were a lot of people involved in that. That was pretty good. But other than that, I can't really think of anything that has had this much potential. So I'm just I'm excited. I hate Bannifer. Want it to go away. I don't.
Yes.
You know,
we all do.
Angela, I was going to ask you because I know you follow the writers and stuff. I know you like to look at that too. Do you think that Lorraine Broderick does have more? I mean, I'm not sure what her role exactly is, but I've just seen a distinct change. I mean, and she's been on board for a while. But I'm trying to put my finger on what the difference is lately. And like I mentioned, Melissa Sammons, and I don't know her from Adam. I don't know who she is. I don't know. I've never seen her name before until she popped on the scene at Dave's. But it's just been recently that there's so many scripts that the dialogue is just great. Because I can always tell when I'm really enjoying dialogue, I just automatically look for the writers at the end to see who it was. And it was almost always a Coolitans or David Levinson's good too, but Melissa Sammons has been popping up a lot lately with these great scripts, and you know, and there are some detractors. Like I said, I was talking to a friend, you know, the other day that said that they felt like she wasn't historically accurate or was changing history on some things, and I honestly haven't been watching it closely enough to catch that. But I've really been impressed with like the jammy pre-sex dialogue the couple days beforehand. And that even the Rafe and Kate stuff's been great. And, I mean, of course, the actors play a big part in that, of course. But you know, I just have noticed that it's been really good. And I don't know what Lorraine's part in all of that is, but I don't know if she's having some good influence on. I mean, obviously she's having some good influence, but I don't know if she's maybe taking over the reins a little bit on some things or what, but I'm definitely noticing a difference just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think the last 6 weeks is remarkably different than how it has been. And to me, you know, they would be foolish to have hired her, and it would have been, I think you remember we've had conversations about this months and months ago. I never believed for a second she would ever come back to Days. You know, after she came in 2002 or so and stayed 6 weeks and said, "We'll see you. I'm not doing this." So, you know, I never dreamed she would come back to the show. But I think, you know, the fact that she came in as an associate head writer, which means she's writing breakdowns, you know, or that would, you know, at least that's what it would lend us to believe that's what she's has been doing. And and I hope learning the show. Because I think she, you know, that was the biggest thing when they got rid of Mardar. You know, again, I'm not there, I don't know, but I would guess that one of the things that they really had to make a decision about is they could not bring people on that did not know the show.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have people, and you know, I think that's one of the reasons why they went back with Tomlin. I still think Chris Whitesell is a good writer, and I think he's the one that saved the kidnapping and created and really fixed all those things with Allison Sweeney, you know, real life baby, and then the baby, the age-old baby, and all that kind of stuff. I felt like I think he really did a lot to save that and turn that into a 2-year story that was really good, which could have been a very big mess. So, I think Lorraine Broderick, some of this stuff really looks like Lorraine. So, you know, and I think it has a definite female touch to it. Some of it, I think, you know, I don't know. I think she's more involved. I don't know, you know, to what extent or whose role is what, you know, none of us do. But I think she's involved. I think I really like Melissa Salmons. I read some things that's been back at the very beginning when she first came on board, which I guess would have been towards last summer. Then we got just a real smattering of stuff about the new writers. And she is a very well-versed, you know, writer, and she's done a lot of very excellent traditional soap. I think Guiding Light as the World Turns, that type of soap story. So, I think she's good. I haven't seen any big, you know, atrocious things with continuity or history or anything. I haven't seen any problems with it.
Oh, okay.
And I've been watching the show for 40 years. Usually,
that's
I cool. usually
have. Yeah, I was going to say. I wanted to get your opinion on that because
I know
you do watch that carefully.
Sure. And I think the other thing that I've been thinking about is that, you know, you've got, you know, Chris Whitesoul is, you know, his name is listed first now, not Gary Tomlin.
I noticed that. I thought that was interesting.
And then with the breakdown writers, and I think, to me, this is the big problem with Mardar. And again, it's not because I do think Mardar had some great ideas, but I just don't think very much that got executed well when they were there. And, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with experience. But, you know, I think now, you know, if you have really good breakdown writers too, we all see the script writers, and I think Dave has some of the best ones. I love, you know, the Pulitzer Great. They came from traditional soaps. They worked. I think they probably. I know they've worked with Lorraine Broderick. They may have worked with Melissa Salmons too. You know, David Levinson has been around a good long while with Dave.
Oh yeah. So, to me,
if you've got good breakdown writers, then that also helps everybody that's writing the script because you've got Jean Marie Spohr, who's been at Days for a long time and kind of came up through the ranks. And there's somebody else, I can't think of who it is, that's script writing too now. And even those scripts are better. I mean, they're not of the caliber of the Culletons or Melissa Salmons or David Levinson, but I think they're really, really good. And I think it's because if the head writers and the breakdown writers are giving enough concrete information, you know, of here's the big story, here's what we really want to do, then, again, I think that was what was kind of missing from Mardar, is that they had such a massive staff, and I don't know that all that information got thrown out there, and Lord knows there was a lot of historical inaccuracies, but what was her name, Nancy Watt Williams or whatever, I mean, she wrote most atrocious things I've ever seen. I mean, you had Sammy saying that, you know, she was pregnant with a baby the year before when she wasn't. She had cancer, thought she had cancer. they were not small slip-ups. So I think it's good, and I think something has changed. You know, whether they ever say exactly what has changed, I don't know.
Maybe it was because we started having to do the Diva of Duel and GH, and they said, hey, maybe we should watch GH and see how it's done. And then all of a sudden it got better. I don't know.
I still watch GH, though.
There were a lot of longtime fans, including me, that are, I think, have been, you know, a lot of people have been tweeting and communicating, I think, with the show to say, you know, if you've got somebody that is really in the game, fighting as hard as they can to save their show, which I think General Hospital definitely has and has succeeded, and you're kind of just sitting there giving us pablum, which is kind of what we got most of last year, especially the last half of last year, you know, hopefully that did make a difference. I mean, the fact that they have got as many talented people as they do on staff writing the show, and, you know, whether you like Gary Tomlin or not, and I personally still think he's a fairly good producer. I really don't necessarily think his skills lie in writing, but I do think that he's got some value to the show. They just need to put him in the right places, and it looks like they've done something. Somebody who, you know, whether Sony intervened, or NBC intervened, or somebody had an epiphany one night. I don't know.
They listened to Diva Duel. That's a very good possibility. You know, could have been because of us. You never know. No, but let me interject something that is not working, in my opinion, that I'm sad about because it used to work and they broke it. And that is Cameron and Abigail.
Yes.
Because
that was bad.
Just comparing looks, just if you're just looking at totally superficial, Finn Cameron is a nice looking man. He's a nice looking guy.
But he's not a good actor.
But it's weird because, I mean, the very first scene, I remember the very first scene that Skylar Yancey and oddly Kate Yancey, I never even thought about that until today. But the very first scene that they had together when they bumped into each other and she dropped, like, the picture frame or whatever, they had chemistry from the word go. And I have no idea what happened behind the scenes or what, maybe it was nothing that happened. Maybe they just made a casting change. I don't know. But I have no idea because Skyler was great with the fans. He was, you know, a really solid actor. I thought they had great chemistry, and they were like one of my favorite rooting couples, basically, as they were progressing through their relationship. And now I can't even bear to watch. And it's sad because I really, really enjoyed Cameron and Abigail. And now I'm just like, ugh, you know, I don't know.
No, I agree.
And
he's
nothing against the actor. I know he's moved in, you know, to a role, and it's like, you know, I'm sure at first it's hard to take over a role, especially if you're a young actor and everything and you're new at this or whatever. But, and I don't know anything about him or anything, and I'm not trying to bash him because, you know, he's a fine kid, you know, I mean, fine-looking man and everything, and he may be a very good actor, but it just, there's just no chemistry where there had been chemistry before. And I don't know if there was a case of, this is a case of, oh, wow, we found someone that we, meaning the casting director or the producers or whoever, thought was perhaps on the surface of it maybe more attractive, if you will, or whatever. I don't know. But I just think that the chemistry's gone, and it was there before. And again, nothing against the actor. He seems like a nice enough guy, you know. But sometimes it just is there or it's not there. And Dave has a habit of, it's not there, and they force it, and, you know, try to make it there when it's just never going to be there. And now I'm just kind of sad because I was really wanting to root for that pairing, and I really do like, you know, Abigail, and I really am glad they've gotten her away from Chad again because, oh, my gosh, that was just a disaster times
mm-hmm.
two, you know. But
I don't know.
I'm just so incredibly disappointed. And I have to say, in fairness, I really didn't have had a chance to watch their scenes much this week, but I'm not hurrying to do so either. And I used to really look forward to their scenes when Skyler was playing the role. So, you know, it's disappointing, really, because I think her story is really heating up with this relationship now, and I'm just like, I'm bummed out because I just don't even care. And I cared before. So... So I just thought I'd throw that out. I mean, we got a lot of good positive things going on, Vanna for mm-hmm. being an exception. But now, you know, we've got this, you know, this pairing that is just, to me, not working anymore, and it's a shame. So, anyway, that's my opinion on it.
I wanted to ask
I'm
sorry, who's going? Okay, I had a question. This scene bothered me. It was with Hope and Nick at her office, and I didn't really understand what was... I was watching it because, I don't know, I used to like, I like Hope when she's smart, and
mm-hmm.
And it was hard for me to understand why her being an experienced cop and her having gone to prison, why she cannot see how really crazy Nick is. I understand he's very good at charming, he's very good at playing people, but the part what really annoyed me, and I just wanted to smack her, is when she goes, well, don't worry, Nick, all the horns will be staying behind you. I'm going, holy crap, hold on a second. Number one, it's not his kid. And two, Will's a freaking Horton, too. And I'm going, what is going on with Hope?
Thank you.
I went, what?
Mm-hmm.
What bothers me about the Hortons as a whole is they're all acting like Nick, and Nick is like the father's kid, and Will should just go away. And they're like all saying, oh, poor Nick is going through all this, and Will's putting him through this. I'm going, shut up, losers. What is going on with the Hortons? I just don't understand it. And I really want to like Hope. You know, I kind of like, I like when they just
supporting Nick
Hope.
more than Will. But that doesn't make
mm-hmm.
sense.
I just, isn't she like closer
Fairly
to Will
Nick.
Than she is to Nick? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
she's related to Will on two sides of her family. Will's her cousin and he's her nephew. So,
and
she's quite, yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. I get that she supported Nick getting out of prison, but what's going to be interesting is we all know Nick's going to go off the deep end. It's only a matter of time. And is Hope going to be able to live with the fact that she helped get this guy out and he turned out to be a crazy son of a bitch and he goes after some member of her family? I mean, come on. You know how Hope is. She's going to be blaming herself. We all know that. Thinking, why couldn't I save him for who he was? Why was I so snowed? You know what I mean? Which could be a good storyline for her and all that. But I'm kind of going... Would the Hortons please remember he's not the father? Please. And every time Nick refers to it as his baby, I want to go, no, it's not.
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, Hope, please wake up. I love you. Please, come back. Be smart. Be smart, please. Because anybody else, she would see through in a minute. So I don't understand why she can see through him. I'm like, she went to prison. She knows the whole con act. Come on now. Please. I personally think it's ridiculous that she's a cop after going to prison, but that's just me. But please, I would like to see smart Hope, who's great, you know, investigating stuff and, you know, using her smarts and her wits to get through things, which hopefully they'll do down the road, but I really would like to see that with her character. Well, I mean, first of all, she thinks Danforth is a good thing. That alone shows her stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, please be smart, Hope. And come on. Daniel sucks. He's a horrible person. Nick's an idiot. And he's crazy. Come on. Oh, my God. I'm like, I want to be on Hope's side. I really want to because I like Kristen Alfonso. I think she's a great actress. But they're really not making me root for Hope, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, he's an
ancillary
type character now, you know, versus being kind of, you know, close to being almost the matriarch of the show. And
mm-hmm.
it seems like, you know, they've really lost who Hope is now that Beau is not there. I don't
mm-hmm.
know, to me.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm still upset because Peter Reckle's gone, but I think that, you know, that needs to be her role. And there are several characters, I think, you know, just like, you know, I think Abby, I think Hope, certainly Chad. Where do these people fit in, you know, or do they, you know, and they hopefully they're going to, you know, over the next couple of months, they're going to figure out a way to kind of, you know, pull these folks in and give them the right things. But right now, I think all of their stories are kind of pitching in the wind.
Mhm. Yeah, I see that. Chad, even with Kristen, it didn't mix. He just seems like the oddball everywhere. Like, I don't even buy that he's friends with Will and Sonny. I don't feel that camaraderie there. And he's been on for years. So, you know, I don't buy that he lost a child at, what, a month old. You know what I mean? I've never really liked Chad. He just doesn't do it for me, and I just don't feel any chemistry with him, with any of the characters, male or female. I don't, you know, he's just an oddball. He doesn't look right with the DeMiro family at all. He never has. So I don't know. I think they should have given up a long time ago on Chad.
I like Chad. I just don't like Abby. Because if I was shot, I wouldn't want her around because I might die because she's horrible in a crisis. I mean,
Would
start screaming her head off. She's horrible. Remember when Chad got shot? She's like screaming. She's not calling 911 right away. I mean, I'm kind of
She was in the elevator, and she's kind of the reason Chad's dead because she didn't get
out
of the elevator when she had the chance. But, oh, yeah, and her Karen finally figured out her secret on Friday, and that was kind of funny. So I wanted to bring that up, that the Golden Circle Club.
Oh,
and he asked this.
That was funny.
That nurse, and she's like, that's sexual harassment. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about?
You don't know, do you?
That was funny.
That actress is actually following me on Twitter, but I can't remember her name. I can look it up, though.
Oh, that's
so she's
cool.
On Twitter. Yes.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah, so the sexual harassment nurse is on Twitter. But, yeah.
Oh,
so. Awesome.
Hey, we should tip her.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you know her Twitter handle off the top of your head? Or?
Oh, let me look it up. She'd be my last follower. But yeah, it was kind of, the whole thing was so funny. I don't understand why Abby's so embarrassed to be a virgin in the first place. And guys don't think it's a it's a bad thing. So, oh, her name is Whitney Avalon. It'd be at Whitney Avalon.
Oh, cool.
So that's yes.
Yeah, that was a funny. That was a standout. You know, oftentimes the under five or whatever, you know, or maybe I don't know if she's under five, but like the guest sort of appearances, they kind of don't really have much impact. But those scenes with Cameron, I will say that was really. I liked him in that scene. And, I mean, I like him generally. I just didn't have to see the chemistry with him and Abigail. But that was pretty funny. I have to admit, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go follow her.
At Whitney Avalon. And I want to mention, too, before we go, Caroline Fichter and Maggie.
Oh,
Maggie,
yeah.
Yes, Maggie sent flowers over to the pub. And there was a real cute scene with EJ and Caroline, too.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
that was
great. He was being really sweet to her, and she seemed to accept him finally. You know, but she was pulling for safe most of the time. And so she got flowers, and he was teasing her about having a secret admirer and all that. And Maggie had Victor have lunch with Caroline at the pub. It was a really nice scene. I had one person who didn't like it and thought it was gross. I have no idea why. Because I was saying, a lot of us have been waiting for Victor and Caroline for 20 years since it came out that Beau was Victor's son. I was kind of always pulling
for
them to get together.
To do that.
Yeah.
She trusts Victor, and she's not threatened by Caroline, and she just knows it's a friendship, and he's doing it, you know, because she's alone on Valentine's Day. So I thought that was really, I liked it.
Yeah, and I thought that was really nice, and I thought the show, I think because of their ages, they dropped the ball and wouldn't have a triangle between Maggie, Victor, and Caroline. But, I mean, you know, that wouldn't have been any worse than Bonnie, Nikki, and Maggie. I mean, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Leave Caroline.
Yeah, I like Caroline and Victor. Yeah. I always like Caroline and Victor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I interviewed Peggy about, and she just has this thing, that theory that you're really only have one soulmate, and that's it. And, because I was asking you, is Caroline really mad about Victor being with Maggie? Because I thought, you know, is that her Alzheimer's, why is she acting like that? And she's like, no, and Caroline really is mad. And I thought that Victor was hers. So, I thought that was interesting. But, yeah, so I wanted to mention that. And we had a magic scene, and I wanted to bring that up, too. So can't forget to mention magic. So, anything else that we missed?
I don't think so.
Too much. Yeah, there was a scene with Stefano and Kristen. Basically, Kristen kept updating him on how her proposal plan was working out. So it sounds like now Stefano's on board with this whole proposal thing. And he's going to be back. I guess he's going to be back in Salem in February, and John's going to be back, too. So that should be interesting. Finally having Stefano back for the first time in, 10 months or so. Well, if there's nothing else, I actually have an announcement to make. Our interview with Lauren Coslow on Monday will be featured on the homepage of Block Talk Radio. I just got notified, so that's cool. Yeah, so everybody, yay!
Monday, right, okay.
We have Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern. I'll try to get the chat room open a little early. You can't call in until 15 minutes beforehand if you want to get in line. And Rose and I will be call screening. Rose was in the chat room, and she's gone now. And Rose will be call screening, too, with Patrick and Christy on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. So,
awesome. Yeah, shout-out to
Yeah.
Good.
So, we will see everybody Monday. Make sure you take a nap. It's our interviews with Lauren. At least go 2 hours. So, I'm dead serious. I think the last one was 12:20, something like that.
I think the last one was 2.5 or 3 hours, something like that. I can't remember, but something.
Oh, man.
It was fun.
Yeah, so take a nap Monday.
And I can guarantee you there will be lots of fangirling over rates.
Mm-hmm. Okay, girls. Thanks for everybody. Thanks, Anna,
and follow,
Marianne, Amanda, and Angela.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.